Life definitely has its fair share of ups and downs. We deal with the death of loved ones, different illnesses, mental health challenges, and every other struggle in between. But sometimes it's hard to be real and actually talk about this stuff. My name is Alexis Bean, but you can call me Lex. And this is Big Girl Panties Podcast. Here, I chat with both professional experts and other women like me who have their own story about living through grief, trauma, and other tough times, and how they have found a way to put on their big girl panties and thrive. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Big Girl Panties Podcast. I'm your host, Alexis Bean, or Lex, and I'm excited to dive into today's episode. As promised, we are sharing one interview episode each month. So I may pop up here and there with a solo snippet, but our conversations that we have with guests are where all the fun happens, in my opinion. Today's episode is a love story of sorts, and not your typical love story that you may initially imagine, but of course not, because that would be very off-brand for me. But it's a love story about self-love, forgiveness, finding room in your heart to love more people in your life, and how that's a forever kind of journey. My guest today is Shalisa Smith, and she is chatting with me today about her adoption story and how that impacted her life growing up and how it impacts her today. I am so confident that you will be positively impacted by this story, and you'll just enjoy this conversation overall that we shared. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone, to those that are listening on the day of release. And without further ado, here is my chat with Shalisa. Shalisa, thank you so much for joining me today.
No problem. It's my pleasure.
I've invited you here to talk about something specific, but before we run into that, how are you? How is life right now?
I'm good. Honestly, I can say life is great. I'm happy with where I'm at. Work is going well. Life is going well. I can say everything's just great overall.
That's good. I mean, that's more than a lot of people can say right now with everything that's been going on. So that's a blessing.
Great.
So how is life being a teacher? Are you a teacher or are you just a different role within the education system?
A different role within the education system. So I would say I'm the educational therapist. Most people commonly call us behavior therapists. Mm-hmm. So I tend to work with children who have behavior challenges, whether they be severe or not, but who have difficulty settling in the classroom, remaining focused, and just, you know, how can I put it? Being settled in a normal classroom setting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, then those roles are important. Having someone like yourself being able to advocate for their students, like,
yeah,
that's a special role. So, and that takes, in my opinion, a special kind of person. So that's amazing that you do that.
Thank you. It's taxing, but I enjoy it.
I'm sure if you were to tell me even a slither of what you experience or go through, we would be here all day.
More than likely, yes. No 2 days are the same.
Yeah. So again, we're about to dive into something specific, but does your career choice have anything to do with your personal story at all?
I can say no, yes. Mm-hmm. If you asked me growing up, I would have never wanted to work in education. I come from two parents who are educators, and I was just like, I am never in my life doing this. Never in my life. So I came back from school and temped as a probation officer, and I can just honestly say the crisis population picked me.
Mm-hmm.
Once I finished that temp position, I got a call from someone in the ministry, asked if I wanted some more volunteer experience under my belt, because you know when you come back, the first thing they ask is, do you have experience? So I was doing everything I can to gain experience, and then I got sucked into education.
Wow.
And that sounds horrible, but I enjoy it. I do. I enjoyed it way more than I thought I would. Wow. I couldn't see me being a classroom teacher, but being sucked into the world that I'm in now, I thoroughly enjoy it, and I see it as a blessing. To stick in it, yes, because being in crisis looks different for different people. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say, as a child who grew up, you know, having high grades, being on honors and principals list, I was in crisis, I would say, as a child, but you wouldn't know, especially by the way that I presented myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I resonate with that and the fact that it looks different for each child or person.
Wow. So we'll dive into your story next, but that is key, that someone like you is able to find that or take notice of that within different children. And how that's interesting, how you can say, like, I grew up this way, I've gone through these things. And even though you say, like, you kind of got sucked in or you found your way into this, this role, this blessing in disguise kind of thing, you're able to then help future generations with what you know because of your experiences. So can you please share with me a bit of your story? I've invited you today because you were adopted. And
yes.
I did not know that about you. I've known you for quite some time, and I did not know that about you for some years. Not that it's, you know, initially by my business, but I thought that was very interesting. And I knew that if I had the opportunity, that I would love to hear more about your story. And I know that you've taken the time to share your story and put your story on YouTube, but I would love to hear from your perspective. Can you please share with me and share with our listeners a bit about your adoption story?
Well, I was adopted at 8 weeks old. My parents told me when I was about 4. It started off with a friend of mine in my preschool class. I guess her mom was having a baby. I'm just regurgitating this from how my mom told me, because obviously I was 4, so I don't remember.
Yeah.
So the first question that I had was, well, mommy, did I come from you? Like, was I in your stomach, right? That's when she took the time to just be like, okay, no. It's no other way to really explain it. So they broke down, you know, at 8 weeks old, you know, your parents weren't able to take care of you due to some unfortunate circumstances. So they gave you the opportunity to have a better life, a better home, you know, a better future for yourself. Then they asked me if I understood, and I was like, yeah. And I must have been having a play date, and I went right back in my room and played like nothing happened. And so my mom was just like, okay, well, I guess she understands.
It's like, that's not how I thought that was going to go.
Right. So I guess I can say at about 14, I think it all started to sink in. I think I experienced my first real death. And I think that's when I started to realize this life that was gifted to me, or these people that was gifted to me, can be taken from me. And I think that's when I started to, I guess, panic, become angry about it. And I don't know, that feeling of abandonment just, I guess, resurfaced. So I lost my grandfather, and I can just say, you know, things hit the fan emotionally, but within my household, which is even funnier, because at school, nobody would have known what I was dealing with at home, because I was going through it with my parents. My parents were going through it with me. I was angry. Growing up, I can honestly say I felt different. I can always say I felt different. Something was up.
In what ways, sorry to cut you off there.
No, it's fine.
In what ways would you say that you felt different? And I guess, suppose, like, at what different ages, I suppose?
That's like when I was approaching like my preteen and teen years, I can truly say I felt different. I just be like, and on my mom's side, I'm the only girl. I don't have any other grandkids on my dad's side. So I grew up with a heap load of boys, and, you know, just even wanted to just fit in with the boys, the conversations, I felt like I just didn't fit. It's the strangest innate feeling. I just felt different. And I would always say to my mom, I feel so different. Like, I feel like I don't fit. And it might've broken her heart. But you can see it upset her a bit, and it frustrated her, because she's just like, you know, we love you with everything in us. But I always said I felt different.
Yeah.
But about 4 years ago, we reunited in the wildest way. It all made sense. It all made sense. All the feelings made sense.
This is you and your birth parents reunited.
Yes, me and my birth parents, we reunited. I was minding my business. I received a random Facebook message from a friend that I had known from dance way back in the day. And she knew I was adopted. I guess throughout her research for one of her studies, she recruited my father unintentionally.
Wow.
I guess with doing research, they have different forms and whatnot they can sign on and participate in and share experiences for research. I'm not too sure exactly how that worked. I'd have to ask my dad. But she recruited my dad, and she asked me if any of this information sounded familiar. And I had a letter from my biological father that was sent to us through the social worker. And basically everything she was reading off was in this letter, basically verbatim. And I was just looking like, what on earth is happening?
Yeah.
And I was in the middle of my last semester of my master's. And I was just like, I'm going to fail. If this is actually happening right now, I'm going to fail. This is crazy. In short, I panicked.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. It just happened so easy. I had my own plan of starting my search after my master's.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess God had other plans.
Yeah.
And it happened when it did. And then she introduced us via email. And we decided to do a DNA test through Ancestry DNA. And he popped up as my father. And then my mother decided to do one, and she popped up as my mother. So, well, actually, my grandmother. They did my grandmother because, you know, she was getting old. And my grandmother popped up, so then we knew she was my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a wild time.
Wow.
But the best time.
So when you were going through this experience, when your old friend had reached out to you while she was doing her research, at any point were you like, wait a minute, like, I don't want to do this, or I was planning on doing this and some, you know, my master's was finished. I wasn't trying to do this yet. Like, what were you thinking during that time?
I've always been open to the thought of searching for my birth parents. Mm-hmm. My parents have always been supportive.
Yeah.
They've always said, whenever you're ready, you know, they'll hold your hand through this process.
That's awesome.
I can honestly say I was shocked because I was actually with friends at the time. So when I received the message, it took forever to read it. And I said to, you know, I was with my girls and I was like, well, what on earth could she be messaging me for?
Yeah.
And then one of my other friends who knew her story as well, she was like, well, what if it's about adoption? And I looked at her and I was like, no way. Like, the world's too small. Like, no way. Like, it's no way. It's no way. I don't know. Something in my gut just told me to go through with it.
Yeah.
And like, it's happening for a reason. So clearly I need to take this plunge, because who's to say they won't back out on their end.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, clearly it's meant to happen right now, so I should just go along with it.
Yeah. Wow. That's huge. You're incredibly brave, first of all, for even like taking the plunge to say, yes, like I do want to be a part of it. That's amazing that your parents were, you know, supportive of you and said, you know, when you're ready, we will hold your hand through this process. It's a blessing that all parties, because the story sounds beautiful, that all parties were like, they're open to it. So it's pretty incredible. So how was it when you met your birth parents for the first time?
Crazy. It's no other way to explain it other than crazy. The emotions were crazy. How quickly it happened was crazy. How seamless it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was, to me, it doesn't make any sense. You know, it just felt like I was in a movie. Just the timeline of it all. Like, say I got that message in November. The next month, December, we were going on Christmas break.
Wow.
When I got off from work. I don't know what made me. Now sitting back and thinking about it, I'm just like, Shalisa, you are really crazy. Like, you just hopped up the next month.
Yeah.
And just met these people that you've never met before. But I am honestly grateful for my support system that did go with me. I really couldn't have done it without them.
Yeah.
So that was my parents, my boyfriend at the time, and my best friend at the time. So it's just... Whew. Yeah, grateful. Very grateful.
Yeah, what an experience.
I can't even explain the feelings. Like, I didn't cry at all. I guess I can say I was overjoyed.
Mm-hmm. It's like an out-of-this-world experience for yourself.
I think so. Because even just sitting and listening at different stories, because there were so many different stories where we were in the same place at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was born in D.C. and my dad went to university in D.C. So he'd go up and visit his friends, and we'd go, and it's so many times where we were in the same place at the same time, or I was experiencing something in Bermuda and something was actually happening with them at the same time. It's crazy how we have always just been connected.
Yeah. Wow.
And I think that's what really blows my mind the most.
Yeah. Now that you have, you know, made contact with your birth parents and you're able to have these kinds of conversations and see, like, I guess the comparisons between your lives and the things that are similar and, you know, make the connection like, wow, we really are family.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, I'm sure.
It's really crazy.
So just to backtrack. I'm going to go like back and forth 1 second.
That's fine.
So what are some of the challenges that you've, that would you say if you've had any over the years as a result of being adopted?
Challenges, I guess, with my identity, the fear of abandonment. Those are my main two ones.
Mm-hmm.
I think I battled a lot with myself with the way that I was brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the feelings that I felt on the inside as to who I was as myself.
Yeah.
And not being able to connect with and identify with those feelings in people that were in front of me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, how you know, okay, I get my mannerisms from my mom, or
yeah,
I get this sense of style from my dad, or I'm chilled and laid back like my dad. It's certain things I just couldn't identify in my parents. And I can honestly say I did fear expressing some of those things because, you know, you don't want to break their heart.
Yeah. You don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
I don't want to hurt their feelings. They've done so much. I'm so blessed and so grateful to have them, honestly.
Yeah.
And I just found it hard to express those things.
Yeah.
Because I really just didn't want to hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
The abandonment they got me help with, because
mm-hmm.
That was the root of my anger. So they quickly popped me in therapy for that, which I'm very grateful. So it's taught me how to, I guess, manage my anger and at least be able to identify my triggers.
Yeah. What I was thinking of, because, you know, as a young person, especially like in your teens and like preteens, teens, and even like as you become a young adult, like shoot, even in your late 20s, early 30s, hello.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're trying to find ourselves. We're trying to figure ourselves out. And that's a normal thing for any young person.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think I would have been able to handle my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't have the answers I have now.
Right. Yeah.
Like looking at the transformation that I'm making as myself as a woman and turning 32 in July, I'm just like,
thank God.
I'd be a totally different person.
Yeah.
Really sitting and thinking about it.
Yeah. No, for sure. That's real. So what would you say have been like your challenges since you have made contact with your birth parents, since you've developed a relationship? Have you developed a relationship with them? And what have been like any challenges that you faced since then?
I think despite the circumstances, as in like the pandemic, I can say the pandemic has definitely thrown a wrench in us developing a relationship. But don't get me wrong, we're still very close. I talk to them all the time, including my siblings, mainly my siblings on my mom's side.
Yeah.
My two older sisters, don't know where I'd be without them. Love them dearly.
Awesome.
But I keep in contact with them. I think the hardest part is keeping in contact with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Going from being an early child to one of, how many of us is it? Six? I'm one of six between my two parents.
Okay.
I think it's very difficult now for me to keep in contact. I just don't want anyone to feel forgotten about, excluded. I don't want them to feel like it's just a chat with my list. Okay, I've met them. Check.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. Yeah. I don't want them to feel like that. But also, prior to the pandemic, I was going over their summers and trying my best to go over as many breaks as I could because I was so invested in building that relationship and making up for lost time.
Yeah.
I found the process healing for all of us, especially my mom, you know, personally as a woman, cannot imagine giving birth, holding my child, putting it down, and then having to be discharged the next day, knowing I left my baby at the hospital. And I can honestly see it's been healing for her. So, you know, I try and maintain those relationships, but it's the balance.
Yeah.
So I was going over there pretty often, and now pandemic, it's just like, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's even harder now with the pandemic.
Yeah, I could imagine. Yeah. I watched your story, your video that you created on YouTube. And I saw the moment when you met your birth mom for the first time and the emotion. I had chills.
Makes me cheese every time I'm sitting here smiling, just thinking about it.
I was just like, although I had chills, I just thought like, what peace must have been felt like in that moment. For like
every child's okay.
I was beside myself. I mean, I wasn't like bawling, but I was just like, wow, I just was like shocked. I couldn't really speak. It was just a moment. And I watched on YouTube years later, you know, so I could only imagine.
Yeah.
Hey friends, I hope you're enjoying our episode so far. I'm dropping in quickly to plug our BGP book club that kicks off on Wednesday, February 16th. And our book of choice is The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. This was a collaborative effort for sure with myself and all of my BGP sisters that voted. So I'm really excited to get started. We are going to be reading the book over the course of 3 months. I know, who takes 3 months to finish a book? It's me. I take that long to finish a book because I have other stuff to do, other commitments, life happens, and all the things. So insert any other excuse that you may add to this list too as to why you can't join book club. Sorry, a little too passive aggressive probably. But if you are interested in joining, I encourage you to sign up on bgplife.com and join our mailing list. You can subscribe to our general mailing list where you can find out about all things Big Girl Panties. And then there's another list that's strictly for book club. We are going to have a reading plan shared within the club so you know how many chapters that you should be reading for each month. Then we'll have book club meetings on Zoom once a month to discuss what's happening in the book so far. I'm so, so excited to get started, and I really hope that you join us. Again, if you're interested, please sign up on bgplife.com. And if you have any questions, send me a DM on Instagram at bgplife or on Facebook at bgplifeblog. Okay, let's get back to our conversation. So we spoke about some of the challenges pre-meeting your birth family and after. What are some of the positive ways that, you know, meeting them has impacted your life?
It's so much closure. Mm-hmm. Like I woke up feeling like I grew up feeling rejected, mm-hmm. you know, and to know like that wasn't the case. It was literally just a mishap of circumstances.
Yeah.
If all was to work out on one end, I probably wouldn't be where I am today.
Yeah.
To know that they just truly loved me. And they really did that just so they can know that their child has a better chance at life mm-hmm. and that she'll be okay. It really helped me to deal with that feeling of rejection. I just all the answers, because on my paperwork, it did state that I had 2 older siblings. So I always wondered what happened with them.
Yeah.
And was I the only one giving up, or did something happen to them? Were there any kids after me? And then it was growing up thinking, why me?
Yeah.
Why me? Why was I the only one? If I was the only one, just what happened? Like, yeah. What was your reasons? Especially because in Bermuda, you don't really hear about kids being put up for adoption. You hear yeah. foster care, and then the foster care lasts forever.
Yeah.
So they basically end up staying with the foster care parent for a long period of time, depending on the circumstances. So for me, like seeing it, especially in my community, adoption was so foreign. It was an odd occasion. You'd run into someone who was adopted, and especially adopted from out of the country.
Yeah.
So my biggest question was why? And I was able to get that.
So this is just my own curiosity. So your siblings, how did you reunite with them?
It was all in the same day. After my parents picked us up at the airport, we all went to where we were staying. And then my mom went and got her troop of kids, and they all met us at our accommodations. And oh my God, my sisters were so emotional.
Yeah.
Which I can completely understand, because it's like you grow up, you watch Ma grieve and try and pull it together and try and raise you all. And despite knowing the hard decision that she had to make. So it's just like, they said that they tried to look for me at one point yeah. because they wanted mom to feel happy mm-hmm. and they just wanted mommy to feel better.
Yeah.
So I guess it was the combination of finally knowing, finally seeing, I guess, some joy in their mother, well, our mother. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I haven't really had that conversation with them. But one thing they did say, you know, mom was not the same after yeah. the fact. And they were little, like they were little. My sister must have been about 3, but either way, to still grow up, my oldest was mm-hmm. about 3, but to still grow up, and that's still a lot of emotions to see and to have to deal with, especially as a woman.
Absolutely.
Well, a mother, you know?
Yeah. So how has this impacted your relationships with your parents in Bermuda?
I think it's made it better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think they understand me more.
Mm-hmm.
I can say the hardest part for us was to, I guess, grieve the old norm and try and embrace this new norm of balance. But I also feel like what's helped them is also keeping in contact and communication with my parents.
Yeah.
So my parents keeping in contact with each other and then building that relationship as well. Like, they just have so much love for each other. It's so admirable.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And that's so important. This is obviously in the case of, you know, adoption, but I think of like bonus families. So parents and step-parents and, you know, blended families, and how when we bring those situations to the table, when we ask about that, what do we say? We say that the best thing for the kids is for everyone to be respectful, to be open in communication, and to try their best to like embrace this new normal, embrace the family. And so it's different, but it's a similar kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. And they're just so grateful for each other.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're just like, okay, you gave our child a second shot at life.
Yeah.
And my adoptive parents are so grateful for my biological parents because my mother wasn't able to have kids. She's pretty open about it. So she wasn't able to have kids. So to them, they blessed them with me.
Yeah. That's a blessing. That's a blessing for everyone.
Yeah.
So would you say that knowing your birth parents and your birth family now, would you say that this impacts your life, like, and what you think about the future? Like, have you thought about perhaps like moving overseas at any point in your life to be closer to them in the future, or anything like that? Or like where you choose to, you know, spend vacations? You already kind of did say like pre-pandemic you were trying to spend as much time as possible over there, and just different things.
It's funny because I've always been in the States, you know, as a kid growing up, you know, the parents, you take the trip to Disney World, we go to Florida, we go to Orlando and do all those things. I mean, recently I can say I've made peace with the States because going over there, I can't explain how much anxiety it gave me. I think I just had this irrational fear of running into them in the States and then my life blowing up. And now, you know, that life's in order. I can say I thought more and more about, I guess, buying a home in the States.
Yeah.
I have this beautiful home here with my parents, and, you know, I help them run it and maintain it because I have my status. I think I might explore that option of buying my home in the States. Mm-hmm. Moving, I haven't quite thought about it so much, but I do know pre-pandemic and post-pandemic, I will definitely keep my time carved out to spend time with my family over there.
Oh, for sure.
Because, you know, it's not the parts of the world you want to see, but to make sure I carve out that time so I can evenly spend it with everyone, because I just love them all. I do. I really do.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Like, a beautiful, it's just a beautiful addition to your life that you, you know, you thought about and you had in your heart, but it's awesome to hear that this is now a new part of your life, and you fully get to embrace that. So that's such a blessing, and that's awesome.
I almost feel like I manifested it because it's just like, it was hard for me to think the negative of this. I always wanted the positive to play out. Like, I always wanted the positive to play out. And I've heard from even a few others I know how, like, you know, one person, their parents told the family that they were dead and they didn't want nothing to do with the rest of the family. And then I've heard another one where they just didn't want anything to do with them at all, didn't explain anything. So it's just like, for this to play out so perfect, and I can't even use another word, it's perfect.
No, absolutely.
It's such a blessing. And I am so grateful. And I couldn't imagine it panning out any other way.
Yeah.
However, I do keep it real with everyone who does ask, how did I go about it? Mm-hmm. Or what were my expectations? And I say all the time, go into it with no expectations because you don't want to set yourself up for
it. Yeah, because it's different. It's different for everyone.
It's different for everyone.
Yeah. I have a friend who I had a conversation with her on my first season of the podcast. And she and her sister were adopted. I believe she was like 12 or 13 when she was adopted. And listening to her perspective and her story, it's different to yours. And like you said, every story will be different.
I'm kind of shaking my head. Like, I can't imagine being that age
yeah.
and having to deal with that change.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's every story is individual. Every story is unique. They should not be compared, but you know, to focus on your story, it's incredible. It's so worth repeating or like stressing how much of a blessing that is. So I'm so happy for you that you have found the piece that you needed in this story, because it is very special.
Still a lot to digest 4 years later.
For sure. I could imagine. It's probably going to be a lifelong thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Because there's always ebbs and flows to these kinds of things, to everything. So
yeah,
but I'm excited for you about the step that you're at in your life and in this aspect of your life.
Thank you.
Would you adopt any children yourself?
You know, it's so funny because recently, I think it was in the paper, they had it out that, you know, Bermuda, they were looking for foster parents. I looked at it about a good 3 times because growing up, you could never catch me saying I wanted kids. You can ask my mom. Probably if I'm 10, I've been saying kids are not my ministry. Like, they are not. Like, you can call me auntie of the year, grandma of the year. I will take them for the day. I will take them for the week. I will take them for a series of days.
Yeah.
But that whole for life thing really had me traumatized for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, I'm just like, maybe this could be a little option.
Yeah, okay.
It could be age. It could be maturity.
Yeah.
It could be, and I actually now start to think it could have just been my trauma with this whole situation, mm-hmm. which, like, I don't want to say scorned me. That's probably not the word I'm looking for. But for lack of better words, probably could have scorned me from the thought of parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now that I'm growing up and maturing and processing and actually doing the work behind it, it's like, okay, maybe it's not so bad.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm saying this out loud.
We'll just say it's on the table or it's not going to be. We'll see. It's not a trick question. I'm just wondering.
No, it's a beautiful process. So it's just like, I feel like if I was, I would be a great emotional support and I'd be able to understand and resonate with the feelings that come with being adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't just be, you know, winging it without a handbook.
Yeah.
I am the handbook. I have my own experience to speak from.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a thought.
Okay. So this question is a little off the cuff, but, and you know, there's no right or wrong answer here, but if there are any listeners who are listening, who kind of relate to your story in any way, and this is open-ended, but what advice would you possibly give to someone, another woman who resonates with your story because she is adopted or was perhaps in the foster care system or something like that? If she's struggling with anything?
Always remember that you are a gift.
Mm.
I spoke at the Foster Parent Appreciation Tea. It's probably been about 2 or 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I told, because they had some of the kids in the foster care system there, and I told them, I was like, always remember that you are a gift. No matter how alone you may feel, no matter how abandoned you may feel, left out you may feel, you are a gift. Everything that we go through strengthens and molds us for something greater, but also to bless someone else. Your story will always impact someone else in a way that you never expected. I look at my story, for one, I didn't think it would go as far as it did, especially when I released my YouTube video. That was a wild time, but it blessed so many other people. The things that you go through are meant to touch other people's lives.
That's beautiful.
Whatever your experience is always meant to be a gift to someone else.
Yeah.
I'm just a big believer in paying it forward,
mm-hmm.
which is why I talk about my story so often. Even to like my students at school, I'm very open about it. And I'm shocked at how many can actually resonate with it, but I always tell them, whatever you experience in life, pay it forward. You know, let somebody else know what happened. Somebody else could be feeling alone, and your story just may be the very thing that they need to hear, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying emotionally offload, mm-hmm. but you'll know when it's the right time to share what you have to give.
Yeah, that was important. Thank you. I felt blessed by that. So I know that others listening will also receive that. So thank you for sharing that. I mean that blesses someone. So what does present day healing look like for you? What does present day wellness look like for Shalisa?
I think healing for me is talking about it more. I find the more I talk about it, the better I feel. Present day wellness, because I do tend to carry things in my body. Mm-hmm. I'm getting back into my fitness regimes, clean eating, and just overall meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Journaling, because I've started a book and haven't finished it. But like journaling and getting my thoughts out. I think it's always important to get your thoughts out. Write things down. Offload.
Mm-hmm. I am like your best friend when it comes to journaling, because I do the same thing. It's like my absolute favorite for wellness.
I stopped at one point, I'll be very honest.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like year or two after it happened, I just couldn't find it in me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stopped. But then I noticed health-wise, I had gone down, I had gained weight, I wasn't as motivated. You know, even just in my skin, I was breaking out. So like for 2022, I've literally made conscious effort to write things down, especially mm-hmm. when I'm feeling.
Yeah,
so when I am all in my feels, I have to write it down.
Yeah.
Not handwrite, because goodness, I wouldn't be able to read it afterwards. But I have like a document where I just type it all out.
Amen. Oh God. That's so good. I was also going to say, this is a plug/invite. We are doing a book club for BGP in case you're interested. And it's for non-book club people like myself who don't finish books.
I never finish books.
Or like don't finish books unless it's like 6 months or so later. But what we're doing is we're going to start on like the 16th of February tentatively. But I told everyone what the book is, so you can start whenever before. But we're going to start officially on the 16th. And then we have 3 months to finish the book. And like, we're just going to split it up. And every month we're going to say if it's like the first month, we're going to read 100 pages. We have a month to read 100 pages. Then we'll get together and like talk about like key points within that 100 pages. And so I took a look on, because I'm going to read it on my iPad. We're reading The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. And I took a look on my iPad, like, downloaded a sample. It's also available in audiobooks, just in case anyone listening wants to join us. That's not cheating. You know, you stay within what's best for you. But anyway,
sorry, the audiobook coming.
Interested. We're doing it in 3 months. We are not the people who finish books, or we don't finish books for like, you know, thousands of months later. But I share that to say, one, if you're interested, and two, like, I'm with you. I struggle with finishing books.
I'll have to consider it. Yeah. And it's funny you said that, because I'm literally looking at my girl's journal and I have written down read more, and I was like, oh, this is a direct attack.
No, it's not a direct attack. Definitely, just in case you're interested.
It's so funny. Divine timing's a real thing.
Real thing. You've spoken about it in like more ways than one during the conversation. So it must be for you. No, but thank you, Shalisa, for speaking with me today and sharing a bit about your story. What you have shared sounds absolutely incredible, and just such a blessing that you've been able to, I guess, receive this peace and mm-hmm. receive this like full like turnaround moment in your life, you know, and that things yes. happen so seamlessly for you. And the story's not done. The story is continuing to develop. So I'm just so excited for you that this is happening in your life and that you're able to share just a piece of that with us.
Thank you.
It's awesome. And so thank you. Thank you for talking with me and sharing with our listeners. I'm definitely going to share a link to your YouTube video in the show notes of the episode. Really encourage our listeners to watch that. You guys will definitely be blessed by this story. And I just want to thank you again, Shalisa. This has been really, really great. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Before I let you go, last question. Can you tell me, what does putting on your big girl panties mean to you? What does that look like in your life?
For me, I felt like even prior to this, I had to put on my big girl panties and just take charge of my life and be okay with not knowing certain things,
mm-hmm.
being okay with the unknown, and being okay with my life for what it is and where it is in its process and in its journey.
Mm, that's huge. That's a big
one. I had to come to acceptance of possibly not meeting them mm-hmm. prior to meeting them, which is what I feel helped make this journey even more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. And that should be inspiration for, you know, not only someone who has a similar story like yourself, but you can translate that to like everything in life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge definition for putting on your big girl panties. Thank you for sharing that one.
No problem.
Yeah, so I will let you go. Thank you for this conversation. Thank you for this chat. I have been blessed by this. You guys listening, I hope that you've been blessed by this also. And Shalisa, thank you again. And it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning into today's episode of Big Girl Panties Podcast. I hope you enjoyed this chat with Shalisa. It's a true testament to love and celebration of the highs and lows of love. That's self-love and the love that you have with your family and close friends. This is a forever journey, and I'm grateful to Shalisa for sharing a bit of her journey with us. Again, don't forget to subscribe if you're interested in joining our book club or if you want to be part of our sisterhood online. Talk to you again soon, friends. Happy Valentine's Day. You are so, so loved, and I thank you for being part of this journey with me. Stay safe, and I'll see you next time.